hosts of Common Sense Investing have been helping their clients and listeners make sense of the markets for nearly three decades. Using a conservative, diversified, value-oriented approach to investing, they strive to make you a better educated, well-informed investor. And now here's your host, Eric Whiteman.
Well, thank you and welcome to this edition of Common Sense Investing. I'm your host, Eric Whiteman, Senior Wealth Advisor and Partner here at the XML Financial Group. So glad you could join us today. If you want to learn more about us, you can go to our website. It's xmlfg.com. Once again, xmlfg.com. If you have specific questions about financial planning, portfolio management, what have you, you can always give us a call. The number is 301-770-5234. We're always happy to help. You know, I've been coming into the office lately feeling a little uneasy, and I just thought it was the air conditioning. Maybe it was off or broken or what have you, until I realized I was actually a little worried about what was going on in the markets. We started the first half of the year off in pretty good shape, throw June in there too, especially if you were over-concentrated in the big cap tech names. You did pretty well. Then, at about the end of July, beginning of August, we started to see a little slippage. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? A little slippage. And then it picked up some steam in September, ended up being pretty ugly. This has been a slow motion type sell-off. It's been quiet. It's been flying under the radar. We haven't had big 1,000-point down days. It's just been a good old-fashioned grind lower. So, feeling uneasy, what I did was I decided to make a list about what was troubling me. I find that making a list can answer a lot of questions. And what I came up with are the three big things that are unsettling to me at the moment. And here they are. No particular order. You have higher oil prices, a stronger dollar, and higher interest rates. You put those three together, and that's a pretty toxic combination, especially when you're looking at stocks and other risk assets. And let me take these on one by one. Let's do oil first because, well, I just went to the gas station and filled up my gas guzzling beast this morning. So, you know, it hurts a little bit. And if you filled up your car in the last couple of months, you know that oil prices have been headed higher. Brent crude was about $75 back in late June. Now it's above 90. Heck, a couple of days ago, it was closer to 96. That's getting close to near a 30% increase in oil prices just over the last couple of months. I'll tell you, that hurts the average American. And what's been causing it? In my opinion, it's all about the production cuts from OPEC 2.0, which I think is going to keep oil in the $90 to $100 range. That's just me, just like it did back in 2010, 2014. As BCA research pointed out, both Russia and the Saudis have strong political incentives to keep the prices high. Think about this for a moment. Higher oil prices, they give the Saudis leverage in their ongoing negotiations with the current administration surrounding its security, vis-a-vis, think, the Iran's nuclear program. And Russia, well, they probably wouldn't mind seeing a new administration that's less likely to support Ukraine. And I tell you, I don't think the oil companies are going to step in and help a market out. Remember, the oil business is different now than compared to just a few years ago. Today, these companies are very focused on returning capital to shareholders through dividends and share buybacks, combination of both. I don't see them rushing out to increase supply just because prices are high at the moment. There was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal on September 28th. Title was, Oil Near 100, Shale Isn't Coming to the Rescue, which talked about this very thing. And what I thought was interesting was one of Chevron's presidents summed it up pretty well by saying, this is a quote, when rising prices fatten Chevron's balance sheet, it changes the way we distribute excess cash to shareholders. It does not change the drilling program that we're contemplating. In other words, we're just going to increase the dividend. We're not going to rush out and start poking holes in the ground to give you more supply. Also, keep in mind, when it comes to oil, we've depleted the strategic petroleum reserve. So there isn't some hidden stash out there that's suddenly going to reveal itself and drive the prices back down. So why is oil important? Because higher energy costs, if they stay much higher for longer, they're going to spill over into the rest of the economy. The price of oil touches everything. Higher oil equals higher prices on practically everything. Think about that. You have higher oil prices spilling over. That drives inflation higher. And that can result in higher interest rates because, well, the Fed needs to fight inflation and they're going to raise rates, or they're going to keep rates higher for longer, just like they've been saying. That's an ugly loop to be caught in. Now, let's move on to the next of the three, and that's the rising dollar. It's about the highest it's been since February. Let me keep it simple, mainly for my benefit. A strong dollar is a negative for multinational businesses. Let me be more specific here. The S&P 500, what most people refer to as the market, the S&P 500 gets roughly 40% of its sales from overseas. As the dollar goes up, the company earnings go down because you have to take that foreign currency that you earned overseas and you have to exchange it for expensive dollars. It also makes American products and services more expensive to buy overseas. So theoretically, we'll sell less. Again, according to BCA research, a 1% increase in the dollar decreases the S&P 500 earnings by 0.7%. And that's with a 3 to 6 month lag. So the strong dollar is just starting to show up now. And the third of the three is interest rates. Since late June, U.S. 10-year yields have risen approximately 75 basis points, or 0.75%. That's breaking out of the long-term range and reaching almost 4.6%. What does that mean? Well, that's the highest level that it's been at since 2007. Now, I'm sure most of you know about the impact of higher interest rates on the economy, but for those of you who may not know, think of it like this. As interest rates go up, it becomes more expensive for you to get a car loan, a mortgage. Your credit card rates are probably increasing too. It's the same for businesses. Their costs go up, and ultimately, they pass those rising costs on to the consumers. Let's look at this another way. Not how rates are going to make more things expensive for you, but rather how they should make things less expensive. I'm talking specifically stocks here. In theory, if rates go higher, then stocks should go lower, all things being equal. Think of it like this. Your dollars are always looking for their best opportunity. If you walk down to the bank and the banker says, hey, I'm going to sell you a CD paying 1%. You know what? A lot of folks are going to take a pass on that. And they're going to step up and take on the extra risk of buying stocks because they're seeking a higher return than 1%. Now, let's say you go down to the bank the next day and the banker says, I'll sell you a CD paying 5%. Then you know what? A lot of people are going to think long and hard about this because a CD is a relatively safer type investment compared to stocks. So that 5% CD may look pretty good. It provides pretty good competition for stocks. For an even wonkier explanation, higher rates mean lower present values on future cash flows. That's not good for companies that don't have earnings or are expecting earnings to explode way down, way out in the future. So as rates have gone up, stocks should have gone down, and they have. Like I said, last quarter was pretty ugly. But the question is, have they gone down enough? In my humble opinion, probably not. I think one reason why they haven't could be the amount of cash on the sidelines. I've seen different polls that say the majority of investors have money on the sidelines and it's just waiting to be deployed at the right time, which is different than the sell-off we had in 2022. The money sitting on the sideline can be used to, quote, buy the dips, unquote. Now, let me tie all this together. I think that interest rates, energy prices, and a strong dollar, they're all going to remain elevated through the end of the year. If I'm right, that's a distinct negative for the economy and for stocks over the short term because of all the reasons I've just talked about. I'll tell you, it wouldn't surprise me to see the market pull back another, 8 to 10%. I think the risk is high, but who knows? Like I said, there's money out there waiting to find a home, so that could soften the blow to the downside. If you're a long-term investor, like I am, conservative value type person, I would do what you always do. Buy good quality businesses when you think that they're trading at a discount and own them for the long term. Don't worry about the near term's ups and downs. If you're looking for some sort of timing signal on when to add to your holdings or put that cash to work, well, you might want to use the VIX as your guide. I've talked about the VIX pretty extensively on previous shows, so I'm not going to rehash it today. Suffice it to say, the longer term average on the VIX is about 20. And we've been below that for a while now, which actually isn't a bad sign. But if the VIX goes over 20, you may want to start nibbling. And I would get more aggressive at 28 and 36, which are 1 and 2 standard deviations above the mean. I think those would probably be good longer term entry points. I hope these comments help you. Again, if you have any questions or you want some help, feel free to give us a call at 301-770-5234, or you can email me directly if you have a question. It's ewhiteman@xmlfg.com. I'll spell it for you. It's ewhiteman@xmlfg.com. That's all I have for today. I'll check in soon. But until then, remember, it's just as important to protect your assets as it is to grow them. I'm Eric Whiteman, and this has been Common Sense Investing. Okay, you've listened to the show. Now it's time for the really good stuff. So listen up. It's the disclosures. The things I talk about during the show, well, they're just my opinion and are not necessarily those of the XML Financial Group. I typically own and trade the securities I'm discussing, both personally and for my clients, but not all of them. Likewise, employees of XML and our affiliate broker-dealer may be trading and providing advice regarding the securities I mentioned to their clients as well. Don't construe this as personalized advice or a solicitation to buy or sell a security. No, you should consult your own financial advisor to see if it's appropriate for you. It's also not a substitute for tax or legal advice. I suggest you get someone who's qualified in those areas so you can get the advice you deserve. When you're talking about asset allocation, diversification, rebalancing, they don't guarantee better results, and they don't eliminate the risk of losses. In investing, there are no guarantees. Just because you use these strategies doesn't mean you'll outperform someone or something who doesn't. I like to make projections and other forward-looking statements, which are just that, opinions, and are not actual results and are only valid as of the date of this recording. Things change constantly. XML Financial LLC is an independent registered investment advisor.